Up next is part two of a classic Compassion Radio broadcast that first aired in the summer of 2015.
Coming up on today's Compassion Radio.
It's not a book of hope in the sense of quick fixes, something that will make all of my hopes and dreams come true. God doesn't promise that my cancer will go away, but God does promise that my cancer, as well as death itself, will not have a final word.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. Where faith meets the challenge of real life. This is the radio journal of God's work, in God's people, all around God's world. Yesterday began a powerful interview with a professor, husband, father, and current survivor of cancer. Not that the battle is over, far from it. But in the face of death, we see in this man the power of the resurrection. It is our encouragement in times of trial, and it's our ultimate hope. Here's Norm to welcome back this gentle and faithful man who's much more than a survivor. He's a victor.
All right, our guest today and back for his second day is Dr. Todd Billings. And Todd is the Gordon H. Girard Research Professor of Reformed Theology at Western Theological Seminary in the beautiful city, the beautiful town of Holland, Michigan. Todd, it's wonderful to have you back with us for a second day. Welcome to Compassion Radio once again.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Todd, you have written a book that I've been, I think, pretty clear on how I feel about it. I've found it to be profound. I think it's the kind of book that everybody should read, and I literally mean that. If I could give away thousands of copies of this book, I would do it. Todd, let me begin our conversation today by directing our thoughts to the whole matter of hope. And where does hope enter into the picture when you are in a situation where you've received a diagnosis, and this happened to you back in September of 2012, and the diagnosis was that you had incurable cancer? Very difficult thing to hear and a very difficult thing to have to deal with. And you use the word wrestling. That is in the subtitle. You've gone through this wrestling time now for a few years. What have you been learning about your relationship to Christ and about the faithfulness of Christ in giving you a firm sense of hope as you look at the future, which I suppose in human terms is probably pretty limited?
Yeah. Well, I think that I've seen in new ways how Christ has gone before us, no matter how bad the path may look, that in Christ, God has taken on our burdens, and so that even if we feel that we are pioneers in the darkness, we are actually not. There is Christ with us on this path. The question of hope is a tricky one, because on the one hand, Rejoicing and Lament is a book of hope, but it's not a book of hope in the way that a lot of books that are published today are books of hope, in the sense of a book of quick medical fixes or something that will make all of my hopes and dreams come true. But it's a book of hope in God's promise, and God doesn't promise that my cancer will go away, but God does promise that my cancer, as well as death itself, will not have a final word. And as I've talked to other cancer patients who are followers of Christ, it can be a difficult thing to discern. You know, sometimes we will start talking about hope, and the other cancer patient will say to me something like, know, yes, I still hope in God. I still hope that even though the doctor says I only have a couple years to live, that the doctor is going to be wrong and that my cancer is going to turn around. And, I mean, God is free. God is able to act through his providence how he wishes. And so I'm not going to say that that won't happen. But if that is the some of the struggle, I think, is that we've been given such high expectations for what medicine can do at times, and we want our lives to be fixed when we actually have a better hope and a deeper hope that even if or when the medicine doesn't come through, because mortality is not a curable problem, we have a hope that will endure and a hope in God's covenant love that he will keep us as his people.
You know, you have a very compelling story in the fifth chapter of this book, and I love the title of the chapter, Joining the Resistance. You talk about a nurse that you got to know back when you were in seminary, and you learned a very profound spiritual truth through your relationship with her and watching what she was doing. Tell us about that story, would you?
Yes. The nurse was working in a children's hospital with children who had terminal cancers. And so, like a lot of folks, she wanted to be a nurse to help people and to help the world to be a better place. But after a lot of the day-to-day work of going in and caring for these children and seeing really one after another pass away after a matter of months or years, she became discouraged. She's saying, I'm not changing the world. I'm not making a difference. You know, I'm just going in and trying to help these children, but they're just going to die. And some of the response, it was actually a friend of mine who was a chaplain at that hospital, said, well, keep on going into the room of those children as an act of resistance, an act of resistance that this is not the way things are supposed to be, that the death of a young child is not the way that the world should be, but it's also an act of witness that we serve a Lord who will in the end, overcome this current reign of death. And I think there are a lot of ways in which sometimes as Christians, when we seek to do good in the world, we're too quick to try to do just visible good or measurable good. Mm-hmm. When Christians for centuries have been the people who have tried to love those who seem unlovable and or love those who are forgotten. In early Christianity, Christians would bury the dead of the very poor. They're not changing the world in some sense, but they are bearing witness to the true King, which is Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You know, Todd, that's a very profound and I think interesting discussion in your book. And it hits home with me and perhaps some of our listeners, because here at Compassion Radio, we're not about just talking about the truth of God or talking about Scripture or the mandates that God has given us. We're called to act. And so we sponsor projects in 33 of the toughest countries in the world. And one of the things that we've dealt with and had to deal with from time to time is that very question. As a matter of fact, it's a question that Satan asked in the book of Job when Job is being put to the test. Satan raises the question, does Job fear God for nothing?
Yeah.
And you mentioned that this nurse, that that she had to deal with a similar question. Would she care for those who were in need, those little children, even though it didn't change the world? And here we look at situations like refugee camps along the border of Syria. We see the movement of ISIS through northern Iraq and northern Syria and other western Iraq. And we look at, we hear figures about millions of people who are refugees. And it's very tempting for us to begin to think, well, that's too much. We can't change that. And individuals, I'm sure many who listen to us and who hear our appeals say to themselves, you know, I'd love to send some money, love to do something, but honestly, what good is it going to do when there are, you know, 4 million refugees in the tiny country of Lebanon? And this sense of powerlessness, in some sense, trumps the mandate or the obligation to serve anyway.
Yeah.
So you get what I'm saying, and you raise that issue in your book. I think it's a very important one for everybody, no matter what our health situation may be.
Definitely. I mean, I faced a similar issue as well when I was on staff at a homeless shelter for 5 years, and also spent a couple of years in East Africa, so familiar with some community development work, and was involved with that there. And I just found that, on the one hand, you know, Christian acts of compassion, they do help people and they do serve the world, and they are acts of witness to Jesus Christ. But if they are just motivated by the idea that, you know, if you go into homeless ministry thinking homeless people are people who want help and who want to be fixed, then you're not going to last more than a few weeks. Because it's a difficult ministry, and it's a ministry that, to do well, you have to be faithful in loving your neighbor whether or not you see results, and you have to have a bigger motivation than that. And so I absolutely agree that we are called to action on both local and a global scale. But some of what should set us apart as Christians is that we are called to serve even when it doesn't seem to always be, you know, fixing the situation.
Couldn't agree more.
We're called to serve because this is what God has called us to do. This is who we are, people who bear witness to Jesus Christ, that death doesn't have the final word, that violence will not have the final word, even if we don't leave the situation completely fixed.
We'll be back with more of this powerful story in just a moment.
This is Cher Nelson with a special word for those of you who are actively involved with supporting the broadcast ministry of Compassion Radio. You are our heroes. We're also grateful to each of you who give to our Compassion projects as well. Without you, we could not be the hands and feet of Jesus in these difficult places. But those of you who stand with us in the financial support of the ministry, especially you who have pledged a monthly gift, you are the backbone of everything we do, and we are grateful and blessed by your understanding of the need.
The number to reach us is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can find us 24/7 on the Internet at CompassionRadio.com. And now, back to the program.
A number of years ago, I heard a very popular Christian Bible teacher make a statement that was, in some sense, intended to put down efforts on the part of Christians to reach out to the poor and needy. And the quote, it's a very clever quote. It goes like this. He said, "You don't polish brass on a sinking ship." And obviously, the idea was, well, the world is going, you know, to hell in a handbasket. So what's the point of investing all this money and this time and this effort when the thing is going down anyway. And I remember talking with my wife about this, and the thought came to me, what's the answer to that? Don't polish brass on a sinking ship. And the thought came to me, I'll polish brass on a sinking ship if that's what God has called me to do. That's what matters.
Yeah.
It's not my calculation of how worthy or how significant or how effective my labor is going to be. If I'm called to do it, if I have the heart to do it, then God is calling me, and I am disobedient if I don't respond. So
yes, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
You know, I'd like to ask you something. Todd, you are, a very popular teacher of theology there at Western Seminary. That's a beautiful campus. We're quite familiar with Hope College right next door. But you have young people, young theologians in training, pastors, men and women who have been called to serve the Lord. How has this experience in your life, having to wrestle, having to come to terms with an incurable disease, how has it affected the way you carry out the task of teaching there at the seminary and teaching Christian theology?
Well, it has affected the whole community. I was quite open. My wife and I decided to be quite open with the Western community after my diagnosis about what had happened. And before long, I started to do a Care Pages blog that would give medical updates, but then just also some scriptural and theological meditations on what I was going through. And it was partly through the encouragement of the community of students that really even led to the writing of the book Rejoicing and Lament, because they were very responsive in prayer and support. I've had students bring me to chemo sessions. We've had many students help take care of kids while I've been away at cancer treatment, take care of our kids. And there were over a dozen faculty and students who shaved their head when I had to shave my head for when I was about ready to lose my hair anyway. So they suggest to shave your head before my intensive chemotherapy. And so it's been a journey that there's been a lot of giving and receiving. You know, I've received a lot from colleagues and students and tried to give at least some in terms of testimony. And at first, it's not necessarily easy. I mean, I'm the professor, and so even to receive things from students isn't necessarily the most easiest thing, but this has shown my own limitations, need for prayer, and, you know, just I am back to teaching now, but still have a lot of fatigue and quite a bit of pain of different sorts that are side effects of my ongoing chemotherapy. And, you know, I've had many times students drive me home from class and do what they can to care for me there. And so on the one hand, in teaching, I try to make it clear that I'm not teaching about my story. I'm teaching about God's story, which is what I was teaching about before all this happened.
Yeah.
But I also don't try to put on pretenses about some of the limitations and ongoing challenges. And it's been a beautiful thing to be part of the Western community, where we have daily worship and pray for one another. And so the Western community, as well as my own congregation, have just been invaluable supports through this.
Yeah, that's just wonderful to hear. I know that at the end of the book, you really come down hard on this very important point, the realization that you belong to Christ. You are not your own. You belong to Jesus Christ, and His grace is sufficient for you. Have you learned that lesson in a way that perhaps you hadn't learned it before?
Absolutely. One of the theological confessions in my tradition is the Heidelberg Catechism. And the first question and answer is, what is your only hope? What is your only comfort is usually how it's translated. What is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer is, as you were saying, that my only comfort is that I belong in life and in death, in body and soul, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And I actually included that question answer in all of the announcements that I made in September 2012 to kind of remind people to keep this in perspective. And it's something that I've not moved away from, but have just even more and more deep sense of. My hope, you know, I do hope that they come up with new medical treatments for my cancer, but that's not my ultimate hope. My ultimate hope, both now and in facing death, is Jesus Christ, and that's enough. I do hope that I live long enough to see my kids go to high school and these different things, and it's a good hope. But it's, again, it's not my ultimate hope. I do hope that I can be faithful and serve others and do good things, but even that is not my ultimate hope. My ultimate hope is the one to whom I belong, Jesus Christ.
That's a marvelous affirmation. And Todd, your book, as I've said, I guess almost ad nauseum perhaps, is a profound book. I highly recommend it. I can't imagine anybody reading this book without learning about their own relationship to Jesus Christ and coming to understand in a profound way that they themselves are not their own, that whatever the struggles that they have, the grace of God is sufficient for them, and that they belong to Jesus Christ whether they live or die. And this is a wonderful affirmation. I heartily recommend the book, and I pray God's richest blessing upon you, Todd, and your family, and honestly, that your contribution will be able to be made for many years in the future. Why? Because a long life is in itself a wonderful thing? No, because you have a real gift to give to the body of Christ, the community of his body, and I pray his richest blessing upon you. Thanks so much for being with us for these past 2 days on Compassion Radio.
Thank you so much.
Our deepest thanks to Dr. Todd Billings as we tie a bow on this two-part Compassion Radio broadcast that first aired in July of 2015. He's a man who's truly living for his Savior with everything he's got. That, friends, is worth emulating. And you do that every time you step forward with us to bring God's Word to a dying world. Now, as we approach the finish line for today, here's a final word from Bram Floria.
Friends, when you give to Compassion Radio, you're not just giving to a radio ministry, you're giving to a kingdom cause. We go places that many people don't go. In fact, for the past 30 years, Norm and Cher have gone to almost 150 countries at last count, finding out where God's hand is at work and joining in the effort to reach people that have never heard of him before. Kind of that last mile gospel. So you help us do those things in ways that many people just can't. We're intrepid, of course, but you go with us in every one of those adventures. And then we bring the stories back to you of how your investment in Compassion Radio made the difference for so many key people that are on the front lines of faith. We thank you for standing with us. We need you this month to do that very thing. There are great stories coming, and we can't go unless you send us. Friends, here's how you can get a hold of us right now. By mail at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859.
And when you give us a call at 1-800-868-2478, you will speak to a wonderful voice on the other end who will love to hear from you.
Paula and Lena are with us throughout the day, and they treat prayer like a real weapon. So if you need something battle in the heavenlies, these ladies would love to cover you. So don't be afraid to ask for prayer cover for something that God's allowing you to go through right now, because This is a team sport, friends, as we engage together in fighting the spiritual battles overseas on the front lines of faith. There are front lines right here, too, and we can join in with you in whatever God's put you in. So call us today at 1-800-868-2478. And, of course, online at CompassionRadio.com, you can drop us a message any time of day. You can add a note to any one of your gifts to Compassion Radio, and there's also email links for any questions or prayer requests you might have. So take advantage of all that at CompassionRadio.com.
Anytime, friend, that you can take a minute out of your busy day to just pop on over to our webpage, CompassionRadio.com, or give us a call. It just means so much to us, friend. So please do.
And if you're fond of things like stamps and envelopes, we still take that kind of mail.
Really?
We really do. And that address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859.
Thanks for listening today, friend. And we'll be back with you again tomorrow with more Compassion Radio.